in light of it being graduation Sunday, it would be appropriate to have a theme of today of growing up and remembering your past for those of you that are taking notes. And if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and start turning to Psalm 78, please. And as you turn there, I want you to think back to when you remember growing up. Thinking about maybe it was a certain place or certain people or a certain school or a certain street on the road, perhaps. I remember vaguely growing up in New Market, which I don't remember the last time I was there, but there was a house. We're on the left side of the street when you went down it. And that's about all I remember about the house. But what I do remember is at the end of the street, there was a koi pond, and there was a hammock that you could go sit in. And I loved that as a kid. And why does that matter? I don't know. It's just a fun thing that we remember about our past. And now I'm here. There's no koi pond down the street from me. But I still look back fondly on where I grew up, even though I wasn't there for very many years. But today, we're going to revisit the past, look at the future, while we're in the present. So growing up and remembering your past, our title today. Let's read Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72, not the whole thing. He, being God, chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the following the nursing ewes he brought him, to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. Wrong direction. Growing up and remembering your past. Our first point today, I got 3 points, is remember where you came from. God chose David. And David, who was David? Just a shepherd boy. And we might think, and that's a pretty cool thing. But back in the day, that was a very lowly position. God chose David, a little shepherd boy. And not only was he a shepherd boy, he was also the youngest of his brothers. His family would look down and say, you go deal with the sheep. You go make sure they don't die. You make sure you just go get out in the hot sun. We don't really need you around. Why don't you go be with the sheep? He had a lowly position to start. And yet God chose him. And as we know, if you've read through the scriptures, that David was eventually anointed and raised to being a king. And I often wonder, does he remember being a shepherd? Did he ever think back to the days when he was just out in the pastures with his sheep? Did he have a favorite sheep? Did he name the sheep? What were they? Just thinking through this king, David, where did he come from? So David, he was a shepherd boy, a lowly position in society, the youngest of his brothers. And he remembers where he came from. God also chose you. Ephesians 1 tells us he chose you before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And I think back to, man, he was just a dude that hung out with sheep all day. I was just a little boy who lived near a koi pond. That's all I remember. And God chose you. He chose you before you were born. To do what? To be his priesthood, a holy nation. Ephesians 1 tells us to be an heir in his kingdom, to his throne. To be brothers and sisters in Christ. You are chosen. So we remember where we came from. And you might ask, well, why do we remember? Why should we remember? Well, remembering was a very important thing. Then and now. Think about right now. Anybody like me and get really frustrated when they walk into a room and then you don't know why you walked into the room? Or you're making your grocery list and you go to the store and you have your list. And then you get home, and then you forgot the bread, or the chips, or the salmon. Remembering's important. Those silly examples. What about husbands? Your anniversary dates? Birthdays? It's important to remember things. It was important for Israel to remember, and one of the things that they did to remember was the Passover feast, a time where they remembered where they came from and where God brought them through. We remember where we came from. Israel was in Egypt, in captivity, in slavery. And God brought them out. Yes, into the wilderness where they wandered, but into the promised land. And we remember where we came from physically, where we came from spiritually. Yes, you were brought up physically in a town. Before that, there's a birds and bees joke to be made that we're going to skip. Physically, you came from a place. Graduates, you come from Bible Baptist Church. Before that, you came from that street, that town, that school, that church, that organization. All of us here can attest to that. We have a past physically. And you're here now. And we don't all know where we'll be out in the next 5, 10, 20 years. But it's important to remember where we came from. Physically, as well as spiritually. Where were we spiritually? Dead, in sin, enslaved. Dead, my family. That's where we were. And where do we go? To heaven. To Christ. Where are we at now? In his body. I would encourage you, think about this right now. What was your life like before Christ? What was your life like before you knew him? For those of you who don't know, be thinking about that. And for those of you who, like me, I was born blessed into a family that went to church, a church that preached the Bible, shared the gospel. There was prayers wrapped around my birth. I can't begin to fathom what my life would look like without Christ because God was working before I was born. So what would my life look like now if I didn't have him? I can't begin to imagine how different and how unfulfilling, how distraught that life might be. There will be highs and lows in our pasts and in our futures. But we don't live in it. We're focusing on David today. And he had a lot of highs and lows. I would encourage you to keep a journal of these highs and lows, of your journey, so that you can look back and see how God has brought you through it all. But just to kind of go through, David was a king. He was anointed as king in 1 Samuel chapter 16. He became king in 2 Samuel 2. And God made a covenant with him, promising that his throne would last forever. 2 Samuel 7. We're thankful for that one because his throne, his line, that's where Christ came from. We should all be joyous for that because God keeps his promises. And a compliment, a title that David was given, a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13. What a name. I don't feel like I should be called that. A man after God's own heart. Man, I'm wicked. I get angry. I sin. So did David. David, he was forced to flee. He ran away from Saul. He committed adultery and then killed the husband of that wife. And then their baby died. That's a low. He failed to discipline his sons, who went on to do sexually immoral things, killing people, usurping the throne, trying to. And then he gave an unauthorized census. Go count up all the people. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like that. That's a big deal. Well, no, because God didn't tell him to do it. He just did it because he wanted to. And when he did it, everybody caught a deadly plague. That's a low. David, a man after God's own heart. All these things on his journey. So we remember the past, but we don't live in it. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? We look at our past and we see where we came from. Dead in our sins, and yes, we still sin. But we don't live it. We see the new thing that Christ, that God is working out in our lives. Putting off the old and putting on the new self. Being given the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace and patience. If you know the rest, say them with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the work being done in us. What a wonderful thing to be dead in our sins, to being full of life and love and goodness, found only in Christ. Remember where you came from, physically, spiritually. Second point is to build your character. And I thought we should go to the professional for this one. Build your character. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? No, we can't. We can't fix it, guys. But we have to build our character. And to build our character. Now, Bob, I think he was a man that fits this, but it starts with integrity. Integrity, not ability, is the first thing that is mentioned about David in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Build your character. And what is integrity? As a good Bible scholar, I Googled this. So, integrity, the definition that popped up is an unimpaired condition, the quality or state of being complete or undivided, or firm adherence to a moral code or value. This is where character starts. Integrity. Character matters. Amen?
Yes.
A couple of Bible passages. Luke 6:45 says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Sorry. Character matters. Our character is reflective of what is on the inside. Our character is reflective of our integrity. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of my mouth, if it's anger, if it's hate and wrath, or if it's pride and, oh, I'm macho man and super cool. I'm not. That's what comes out of my mouth because that's what's in my heart. We remember our past and where we came from as we build our character because out of our mouth should be humility. Out of our mouth should be love and mercy and kindness and goodness and fruit of the Spirit. The wellspring of life is within us. The Spirit of living water. It's within us. Is that what comes out of my mouth, your mouth, my church family? So we build our character with integrity, choosing day after day to have character, not be one. Character is built block by block, brick by brick, by intentionally choosing what is right until it becomes a part of your nature. Day by day, choosing not to show anger, not to fall into pride, not to give in to greed and lust and envy, but instead choosing Christ, choosing love, joy, peace. Remembering that before, in our past, dead in our sins, that's all we could be. It's greedy, prideful, angry. And through Christ, through the Spirit that He sends, through the plan that God the Father has, we can be His people, a royal priesthood, set apart from everybody else to glorify our God and King. Our third point today, growing up and remembering your past, perfect your skills. David, watch this animation. David was a shepherd. And he led God's people with skillful hands. Look at our passage again. We see in verse 70, he chose David his servant. God chose David. He's chosen us. and took him from the sheepfold, from following the nursing ewes he brought him, to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. God has brought David for this calling, to fulfill the job he's been assigned. Why? Because he has character. And God gave him gifts. With an upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. David led God's people with skillful hands. Some qualities of David. Well, he learned how to nurse sheep, not him physically nursing the sheep, but helping that process with them giving birth. That had to be part of it. He learned how to lead the sheep, taking them to where they could find food and water and rest. He protected the sheep against bears, wolves, lions, anything else. He had to protect the sheep. And these things all translated to him learning how to be a good leader. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than for men." If you go to Twin Lakes, if you've been, you probably know that. Right, guys? Yeah. But it denotes this idea that whatever we're doing, whether you're a cook, an accountant, an engineer, a pastor, a teacher, whether you do something I don't know, whatever you're doing, do your work heartily as to the Lord, not for yourself and not for other people. Perfecting your skills to glorify God and to serve his kingdom. Graduates, you guys are going to go into fields like, what was it? Whatever Autumn's doing. Way over my head. Right? Use that to glorify God. Being a teacher, a photographer. Glorify God with that. You hone your skills. You use the gifts God's given you so that you can worship him in that. There's a primary calling and a secondary calling in our vocation. Right? Calling to Christ, where we can serve him as his people, and then serving him in certain ways in your vocation, in your jobs. Perfect your skills in your job so that you can point people to Christ with that. David, back to David. He was a skilled musician. 1 Samuel 16:18. He could sling a stone like no other. And he could lead and guide Israel with skillful hands. David was a resourceful guy. And did he fail? Yes. He failed. Quite a few times. But yet he's still called a man after God's own heart. This lowly shepherd boy. Inconspicuous, perhaps scrawny, I don't know. Raised to king. We are lowly, dead in our sins. Garbage. Raised to co-heirs with Christ, inheriting heaven. What a great thing. And so we glorify God with what we can do. David was a leader. All of these and more were used to guide Israel with skillful hands. So growing up and remembering your past, remembering where you came from physically and spiritually, seeing how God has worked out your life, building your character, seeing how God is building your character. Those trials, those things that you don't like, God's still working. The rests that God gives you, it's for a reason. The strength and the skills God gives you, the gifts he gives you, use them to glorify him. The road ahead, it's complex. Graduates, parents, adults, kids, everyone has a complex road ahead of them. And there will be days where you wish it was easier. Days that you wish that the responsibilities you have weren't your own. Mom, dad, brother, sister, teacher, boss, employee. There will be days you don't want the responsibilities you have. There's going to be twists and there's going to be turns that you cannot anticipate. ups and downs that leave you wondering how in the world you got there. And when they come, you have to decide how you're going to handle it. It's up to you. You have a choice. In that time, remember where you came from, how God has brought you through it, built you up, given you gifts, helped you with your skills. When you deal with that thing, the best thing that I can tell you is that you don't have to do it alone. That God has given you himself and his family, those around you. David came from sheep pens. But when he was a king, his integrity, his character, and his skills were used to showcase how God's work was in his life. How his life, rather, was a piece of God's work. And this isn't some secret formula. It's not some secret successful thing that'll make it to where you don't have to have your share of hurt, your share of heartache and hardships. However, it will keep you rooted in your foundations, rooted in your relationship with God, the source of all goodness in life. So remember, my church family, as we close today, where you've come from, build your character, perfect your skills, and develop those things to seek to glorify God with your whole being. Chief end of man is to know God, fear God, and keep his commandments. Commandments we have in Matthew 22 is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's love God together. Let's love each other well. I'm going to pray as the worship team comes up, and we'll close out with the song today. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you have chosen us to be your people, that you love us to sacrifice the Son for us, that you've sent your Spirit that we may grow in you, progressively seeking to be more and more holy, more and more like Christ every day. God, we thank you so much. And we pray that we glorify you with all that we think, say, and do, knowing that in you we have life. Father, our hearts, without you, are wicked and corrupt. They are pure in you. I pray, Father, that we would have pure hearts founded on Christ, knowing that he is our rock, our salvation, our cornerstone. That you, God, are the reason we can sing. Thank you, Father. Amen.